Yote!
Hey, what's going on?
Oh.
Buddy?
Well, it's more a reunion. Remember we used to sit down at, what was the little joint we used to sit there by Manual Stadium?
Jack's Cafe.
That's right. And we used to cut up a jackpot how we were going to do this and take over a station. Now, you can't do it over at HAS because you're the only one with a decent paying job.
I'm at WAMZ.
At AM? What? Wait a minute. It's in the same building, isn't it?
I'm at WAMZ.
Okay, we want to make sure. AMZ.
Exactly right.
AMZ.
Hey, but may I tell you, I've been listening to this all day long. Heard yesterday and today and everything. It was great hearing some old air checks and hearing people reminisce about the past and talking about how... Man, managed it was, way back in the old days. It has brought back a lot of memories for me. It really has. A lot of memories that, you kind of forgot about. Like Ron Lake. Ron Lake was my competition at night when I was a wacky. Hear those air checks today, and I said, he was really good. Chris, back in the old days, said, oh, no, he's horrible. He's horrible. I heard him today. He said, yeah, he was a really good jock, man. He was great. He was great. So I think it's been a great thing for anyone who's listened to the radio in this city at all, just to hear all the talent that has been through this radio station. And again, I was never on this radio station, but I sure had a lot of respect for the radio station when I was across the street at Wacky competing against WKL.
Well, we all used to hang out together.
See, that's what I mean. Man, it was back in the old days when you could do that,
Yeah.
You could still do that. I think Ron Lake had a great comment yesterday. He goes, back when he was doing nights and I was doing nights, he'd give me a call and say, hey, man, what's your last record? I'd say, Stairway to Heaven, what's your last one? He goes, Layla, let's go ahead and meet for a beer right now. So Lake and I'd meet for a beer while we were technically not even over our shifts yet. So it was a great time. And it's really sad that it all ends, but I think that... it's great. So many of the fine people who've worked in this market before have been able to come back and let all the people who, have grown up, listen to radio in this market, hear some of the old guys that really made radio history back here one last time.
Yeah. And who knows? If we can hold on to this thing past midnight tonight.
Hey, listen, I bet that's up to you, man. That's up to you. I've already got a gig I got to protect. Okay?
I understand it totally. Totally. Well, what have you been doing outside of the station? Have you got a mansion now?
No mansion. No,
what? Oh, come on.
No, Mason, that's for people like Gary Griffin over here, okay?
I'm trying to get Coyote to move into my neighborhood. We're trying to pass an ordinance over there that we can have two ex-radio guys living in the same couple of blocks of each other.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lie to my banker, tell him I'm a dentist right now, and totally fabricate my income like his. Maybe I'll be able to get in there. And after the first couple of months, I'll get evicted and all that. But hey, at least I'll have a great house for a couple of months.
Well, listen, do you still do the Coyote yell and everything?
Oh, no, that was great at the time when I was a wacky. Of course, it was a lot different back then, doing nights, doing a kind of a teen-oriented top 40 thing. It was great back then. I hear all air checks now, and I think, good gosh, I can't believe I ever did that. But with the time, you have to take, like all of us, I'm sure all of us can look back at our old air checks, and at times kind of cringe.
Oh, yeah.
But... for the time, that's what was really happening.
The tough one is to play it like I was up in North Carolina with a lot of Salagee, a lot of Cherokee people, and they were asking what I did, so I would play some of the stuff for them, and you'd get this real strange look.
They thought you were from Mars, Mason, if you played them your things.
At least Mars. It was a strange thing. Strange thing. So, who else can you remember, Yote, that used to hang out with us in those days?
Geez, I remember some of the old people back at KLO back in the days, like Mike Rivers.
Yeah, we're good.
Was a really good jock over at KLO. I remember him quite well. He was here when I first came to town back in 73. Bill Love.
Mm-hmm. Bill was here today.
Bill was here tonight, and he'll be back later.
Oh, he will?
He'll be here. Big Brother Love. Yeah,
I met him a year after he had quit the Brother Love thing, and then it was Big Bill Love.
Right.
Look, I'll tell you what, I'd like to say Big Bill Love, but I can only sound like me. That's the only voice I can do is my own. But I remember hearing old air checks of, when I was in Wichita, Kansas, back in, 1971, 72, getting an old Programmer's Digest, and hearing Lee Gray doing mornings, and I think Tom Kennedy was doing middays, Chuck Rock and Roll Brady was doing the afternoon thing, Brother Love was doing the night thing, and... it was a really good radio station. About a year later, I got an offer to go to Wacky.
Right.
And it was like, kind of like intimidating in a way. When I first went there, I went, these are all the guys I listened to that had been on a record. And when you're a young kid growing up, I'd never been on a record that was distributed nationally before.
Right.
And it was like, when I came here, it was a real big thrill. And I think one of the things that happened was any time that, let's say you work against good competition, you yourself grow an awful lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you all of a sudden get better because I think the level of the competition probably brings out the best in you. And I think that coming here was, well, at least for me, I improved dramatically over what I was in Knoxville just because of the competitive market.
Well, they know you in Nashville. I was traveling through Nashville a couple of years back, and I said, well, I got a buddy in radio up in Louisville. Have you ever heard of Coyote Calhoun? And they went on. They told stories that I didn't even know.
Well, let's don't tell any of those in the air.
No.
I got to live here, okay, man? I
got
to live here.
I got one thing to say. Could you imagine? I mean, we were pretty close together. The stations physically. I mean, you know, Wacky was down here on the mall, y'all, and you know, KLO was up on Muhammad Ali. Could you imagine what it would have been like if they'd have been as close as they are now? I mean, that's, you know, within a half a block of each other. That would have been really...
You know, I tell you, the best story I think I ever heard in my life, though, was when Randolph at Wacky, KLO had a contest, and Randolph called up and won it, and used his real name. He said, what's your name? He said, my name is John Aspenlighter. And the guy said, you know, you got a great voice. Have you ever thought about getting the radio? And Randolph said, well, I'll think about it. Then after it was all over with, Bill Hennis said, now, you don't really want the money, do you? Randolph says, you don't pay, I sue.
Got the check. I saw the check.
And then the GM at the time, Don Meyer, said, boy, if you thought you were in a battle before, wait till now.
I wonder if it was in any of the markets that you worked in before you came here, were the ratings battles as hot as this one?
This was a tough market. It was back
still
and forth.
Is.
But, you know,
yeah.
But, I mean, the...
Still this was unless you're a country music station.
Well, yeah. I mean, hey, you know, this is back in the days when you had two top 40 stations. This is back in the days when really, you know, top 40 was dominant.
Mm-hmm.
It was the format, and this was one of the most hotly contested markets I can really think of as far as two stations going back and forth, you know, between Wacky and KLO. And as far as a fierce battle, up to that time, I've been in, you know, little battles before, but we're not talking about. When I came here, this is the first time I ever saw two stations that had money to spend on promotion, money to spend on billboards, money to spend on TV, money for outside appearances for jocks and all that. So, to me, this was, you know, the closest thing I'd ever come to just a big, all-out, major assault on a radio battle.
Well, and the national radio media followed it, too, because guys like Drake and that were always in town listening to this thing.
Yeah, and it was one of the best. And my old compadre, Tad Murray, Bo Brady,
right,
was afternoons over there. You know, so they were both great stations. And I think, to me, personally, as a listener, though, it was a lot of fun listening here the last couple of days.
Let me do this. WDJX AM Louisville. This is the legal ID.
Okay,
go back in there.
Okay,
Tad walks in like he's the PD, right, and writes it down here. And
that's because Bob Klein's not around.
But with, I think what I enjoyed more than anything else was hearing all the people who called in. They had big memories out of the past. And just people who brought up names that, you know, again, I didn't hit the market in 73.
Right.
But there was names out of the past. I heard an alert check today from 64. I forget the guy's name who was on the air, but he was doing his show live at Holy Rosary.
Yeah.
I read that air check.
Oh, that was Alan Bryan.
It was Alan Bryan.
Yeah. And it was like, it really more or less kind of depicted the way radio was back in those old days. Like, hey, here's this rising real quick right now. And
always a musical treat.
Right.
All right, let me ask you a $64,000 question. Could a country western station on FM come in here and give you guys a run for the money?
They don't have the money.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that's exactly what it is.
Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
It's going to take the money.
Hey, well, what can I say? I like my position.
You guys got it locked up as far as the country and western audience, and this city has always been.
Well, we've been real fortunate. You know, we have a company that's behind us, a lot of good people. Tab was one of them when he worked there.
Sure.
And, you know, he left for, you know, bigger and better things in Lexington. Well, look.
And here we all sit unemployed. What can I tell you?
I had to say that. That's, right. Okay.
Well, at the time, it seemed like that.
Yes,
but,
I knows what I mean, too.
But if Tab wouldn't have left, he would have still been here today, okay?
Right.
But he did an excellent job, and I've just been fortunate to have a lot of, you know, really good people, you know, work with the station, so it's been fine. But, you know, but more than anything else, to talk about, you know, AMC, I think that this is a time for all of us to reminisce about what a great station the KLO was at one time, and just like any of the old rockers back in the days, like Wacky, of course, and KLO, kind of sad to see him go, but I think what's really great, we never had one of these things at Wacky.
Right.
A little reunion when everybody came back, and I think that especially the camaraderie that all the people had working together, I think it's really great that, you know, people have been able to come here one last time and do a little salute to the audience. And
well, I think it's great that guys like yourself and all of the other guys that have called in from around the city, from QMF and all the other stations, have wanted to participate and have supported this.
That's
wonderful for us.
It's and Mace, as well as anyone else, you've been everywhere in the town.
That's right. All over.
But I wish I would have, you know, seen this now, this reunion. Looking back today, you know, it was kind of like, I was thinking, yeah, I wish I really could have worked there at one time, because it would have made it really special here, and, you know, especially, you know, Bob Klein on the air,
right,
for so much today, and Tad,
right,
you know, talking to listeners on the air about, I think, Tad, today you were talking to a listener who, they used to come downtown and watch Brother Love,
yeah,
you know, stand in front of, and Chuck Brady, and they're right. 13 years old, drove their bicycles down from Portland.
All right, you tell me something. This is something I've been trying to get an answer for all weekend. Somebody in this town, once upon a time, on Wacky, and started off at 6 o'clock playing a bugle. Was that Weird Beard?
Yes. Bert used to do that.
He did that?
Yeah, he used to play his bugle on the air. He was a musician,
okay. Mm-hmm.
And he had perfect pitch. Remember, we used to have jingles that were by note, so that the jingle would end on the same note that the record began on, and it was his job, because he was the only one in the station that had perfect pitch, to put all those things together.
I sure glad I got there after it was less complicated.
Exactly.
It was all I could do to the show, except, now remember, start that next song with perfect pitch. It'd been like, I quit. Of course, I got to tell you a great story. When I first came here for my job interview from Knoxville, walking into the station, it was on Sunday morning, and I was talking to Johnny Randolph. Now, Wacky Rock and Roll Station. I said, by the way, I said, what is your number one song here? He goes, you've never been this far before, but Conway Twitty. We wouldn't play it. And what happened was, when Hannes was here, Hannes hated country music.
Yeah.
Couldn't stand it. And finally, Randolph forced Hannes to go on You've Never Been This Far Before, and Hannes was just, you know, all beside himself, like, I can't believe I'm going to play this Conway Twitty song here to my radios. I got a boogie station, I'm playing Conway Twitty, you know. But Randolph, that was one of his main fortes, so he was really good at the old country crossover, and he thought, well, if Wynn is not going to play because they think it's too racy, we're going to go ahead and play it ourselves. And needless to say, when I went back to Knoxville and said I was going to be leaving, and I tell them that number one is Conway Twitty and number two is Marvin Gaye, they started looking like, what kind of market are you going to?
This has always been a strange market outside.
Yeah, it was back then.
Yeah.
It was back then.
Well, to kind of end up your set here, Yote, I got a tune queued up that an old friend of ours did years and years ago. This goes way back into the history of KLO. Do you remember Randy Atcher?
You know, I wasn't in town back then, but Randy Atcher, of course, he's a legend here. I've met him many times and all that.
Right, and most of his music had the country and western flavor
to it.
Sure. You may remember this one. Listen to this tune. It'll come in on this thing here. This is for Yote.
Hey, buddy, I saw you wink your eye, and that gal is passing by. You better stop a while and listen to me. Stay away from them soft shoulders and dangerous curves.
That's Randy from 1960. You remember that? I remember that one.
Yeah.
Of course, I was in town in trying to get out of high school. I was barely able to get out of high school.
Is that Randy Atcher?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. And the last cut, the next cut on that side is his theme song from TBRV Ranch. He used to have a, kid show and do all of that on the air. It was great. Great thing. Well, what are we going to do now? Anybody got any ideas?
It's getting down
rock
to it.
Rock and roll! You want to play some sacred songs?
Sure, we better do that.
Wait a minute, I want to ask Coyote something.
Okay.
About the good old days.
We're going to milk Coyote for everything we can
now,
get.
Right.
It's for free. He never works for free.
I heard you guys talking about the battles, you know, between the two radio stations, and there's one going on here now, I guess between DJX and their competition. But back when we were all at KLO, you're over at Wacky,
And we met every Sunday night with Doug Cook to tell Wolf tickets.
Right.
We sold Wolf tickets. Sold Wolf tickets and drank beer and told stories and talked about all the girls that done us bad in our lives.
Yeah.
And we all agreed to stay up till sunset and no sunrise, and we all went to bed.
Did you guys explain what a Wolf ticket is?
Well, what a Wolf ticket is basically when you tell somebody a story.
BS.
Yes, and if they buy it, you sell them a ticket to a Wolf show.
Right.
You know, Doug Cook bought a lot of Wolf tickets back in the old days, and now I want to let you know that he is the bus driver of the Kentucky Headhunters.
Oh, no.
Well,
that's
you buy
great.
Enough tickets, man, you're qualified to drive a bus.
The best one. Cody, what did you really think of KLO back then?
Oh, I thought KLO was a great station. Of course, you know, at Wacky, we'd say, oh, hey, man, we're so much better than they are. Yeah, those guys are ain't good. They blew this set over here.
How many hot records did you play an hour?
And we were doing the same thing over Wacky, right. But again, in a competitive battle, it's one of those situations that keeps everybody on their toes. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I'll tell you something that really happened, though. It was like, I think the best of things up was in the paper after Happy Chandler died. One of these old political foes.
Right.
Now, I forget which ex-governor it was talking about Happy Chandler. He said, you know, when we were both competing for political office, I hated the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he hated me. He said, but after we both got out of politics, and I knew that he couldn't hurt me, and I couldn't hurt him, then we really got to know each other and ended up being pretty good friends.
Sure.
And really, yeah, I think it sums up everything up pretty well right there, because after the battle was over, they got to be pretty good friends, and he spoke very highly of him after it was all over with. I don't think we were ever at that extent as far as competing radio stations.
No, I never went that far, I don't think.
But still, you know, once you had the battle and once everybody went their own separate ways, it was a lot nicer and a lot easier to look back and reminisce about how good the old days were.
The best Wolf ticket that I ever heard was one that, remember Lynn King, Gary Burbank's newsman, Linus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Gary and Linus used to do this, and five more minutes, okay. Gary took out an ad in the newspaper for an aquarium shop that sold bubble divers and all of this, and gave Lynn's phone number. And said it was a 24-hour aquarium supply store in the Courier Journal.
Right.
Okay, so right, and Lynn's a morning newsman. He's got to get up before Gary. Get down. No, he was Skinny Bobby Harper's newsman, or one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So in the middle of the night, he starts getting calls from people who want to order fish food and bubble divers. Well, he figured it out. After the second morning, he figured it out. Okay, so he sold a Wolf ticket back to Gary. What he did was he called a paper, said that he was Gary, said that the phone number was changed, and put Gary's phone number into the ad. And that went on for 2 weeks. So that's kind of what a Wolf ticket was. And
it got to be so bad back in the old days. Like, you'd sell a ticket and somebody'd sell one back, and all of a sudden, if you sold a real good one,
right?
When somebody would come up and say, hey, how you doing? You go, what do you mean by that?
That's right.
What do you
exactly
mean? You're walking softly.
It was a trip. It's 11:23. We're reminiscing with Coyote Calhoun and with all of the rest of the guys from all over the city. Now, it's just like everyone has got to come in here and help try to save AM radio. We are WCII, WKLO. What was the other call letters?
KJJ.
KJJ. Yeah, KJ100. And also WDJXAM Louisville. It's 11:23, and we've got music for you.
Three.
It's the only time a producer gets on the air is over the record.